7. Flynn shucked off his pants and the filthy bush shirt. Shivering briefly in the chill of dawn, he hugged himself and massaged his upper arms while he peered into the shallow water, searching the bottom for the telltale chicken wire pattern that would mean a crocodile was buried in the mud waiting for him. His body was porcelain white, where clothing had protected it from the sun, but his arms were chocolate brown, and a deep V of the same brown dipped down from his throat onto his chest. Above it, the battered red face was creased and puffy with sleep, and his long, greying hair was tangled and matted. He belched thunderously, and grimaced at the taste of old gin and pipe tobacco. Then, satisfied that no reptile lay in ambush, he stepped into the water and lowered his massive hams to sit waist-deep. Snorting, he scooped water with his cupped hands over his head and then lumbered out onto the bank again. 60 seconds is a long time to stay in a river like the Rufiji, for the crocodiles come quickly to the sound of splashing. Naked, dripping, hair plastered down across his face, Flynn began to soap himself, working up a thick lather at his crotch and tenderly massaging his abundant genitalia. He washed away the sloth of sleep, and his appetite stirred. He called up at the camp, "Muhammad, beloved of Allah and son of his prophet, shake your black horse out of the sack and get the coffee brewing." Then, as an afterthought, he added, "And put a little gin in it." Soap suds filled Flynn's armpits and coated the melancholy sag of his belly when Muhammad came down the bank to him. Muhammad was balancing a large enamel mug from which curled little wisps of aromatic steam, and Flynn grinned at him and spoke in Swahili, "Thou art kind and merciful. This charity will be writ against your name in the Book of Paradise." He reached for the mug, but before his fingers touched it, there was a fusillade of gunfire above them, and a bullet hit Flynn high up in the thigh. It spun him sideways, so he sprawled half in mud and half in water. Lying stunned with the shock, he heard the rush of askari into the camp, heard the shouted triumph as they clubbed with the gun butt those who had survived the first volley. Flynn wriggled into a sitting position. Muhammad was coming to him anxiously. "Run," grunted Flynn. "Run, damn you! Lord, get out of here!" Savagely, Flynn lashed out at him, and Muhammad recoiled. "The rope, you fool! They'll give you the rope and wrap you in a pigskin." A second longer, Muhammad hesitated, then he ducked and scampered into the reeds. "Finny! Finny!" roared a bull voice in German. "Find the fight, man!" Flynn realized, then, that it was a stray bullet that had hit him, perhaps even a ricochet. His leg was numb from the hip down, but he dragged himself into the water. He could not run, so he must swim. "Where is he? Find him!" raged the voice, and suddenly the grass on the bank burst open and Flynn looked up. For the first time they confronted each other. These two, who had played murderous hide-and-seek for 3 long years across 10,000 square miles of bush. "Yah!" Fleischer's jubilant bellow as he swung and sighted the pistol at the man in the water below him. "This time!" aiming carefully, steadying the Luger with both hands. The brittle, snapping sound of the shot and the slap of the bullet into the water a foot from Flynn's head were followed by Fleischer's snarl of disappointment. Filling his lungs, Flynn ducked below the surface. Frog-kicking with his good leg, trailing the wounded one, he turned with the current and swam. He swam until his trapped breath threatened to explode his chest, and coloured lights flashed and twinkled behind his clenched eyelids. Then he clawed to the surface. On the bank, Fleischer was waiting for him with a dozen of his ashkari. "There he is!" as Flynn blew like a whale 30 yards downstream. Gunfire crackled, and the water whipped and leaped and creamed around Flynn's head.
"Shoot straight!"
Howling in frustration and blazing wildly with the Luger, Fleischer watched the head disappear and Flynn's fat white buttocks break the surface for an instant as he dived. Sobbing with anger and exertion, Fleischer turned his fury on the ashkari around him.
"Pigs! Stupid black pig dogs!"
And he swung the empty pistol against the nearer head, knocking the man to his knees. Intent on avoiding the flailing pistol, none of them were ready when Flynn surfaced for the second time. A desultory volley kicked fountains no closer than 10 feet to Flynn's bobbing head, and he dived again.
"Come on! Chase him!"
Herding his ashkari ahead of him, Fleischer trotted along the bank in pursuit. 20 yards of good going, then they came to the first swamp hole, and waded through it to be confronted by a solid barrier of elephant grass. They plunged into it and were swallowed so that they no longer had sight of the river.
"Schnell! Schnell! He'll get away!" gasped Fleischer,
and the thick stems wrapped his ankles so that he fell headlong into the mud. Two of his ashkari dragged him up, and they staggered on until the thicket of tall grass ended, and they stood on the elbow of the river bend with a clear view 1,000 yards downstream. Disturbed by the gunfire, the birds were up, milling in confused flight above the reed beds. Their alarm cries blended into a harsh chorus that spoiled the peace of the brooding dawn. They were the only living things in sight. From bank to far bank, the curved expanse of water was broken only by a few floating islands of papyrus grass. Rafts of matted vegetation cut loose by the current and floating unhurriedly down towards the sea. Panting, Hermann Fleischer shook off the supporting hands of his two ashkari and searched desperately for a glimpse of Flynn's bobbing head.
"Where did he go?"
His fingers trembled as he fitted a new clip of ammunition into the Luger.
"Where did he go?" he demanded again,
but none of his ashkari drew attention to himself by venturing a reply.
"He must be on this side."
The Rafiji was 1/2 mile wide here. Flynn could not have crossed it in the few minutes since they had last seen him.
"Search the bank," Fleischer ordered. "Find him."
With relief, the sergeant of his ashkari turned on his men, quickly splitting them into two parties and sending them up and downstream to scour the water's edge. Slowly, Fleischer returned the pistol to its holster and fastened the flap. Then he took a handkerchief from his pocket and mopped at his face and neck.
"Come on,"
he snapped at his sergeant and set off back towards the camp. When he had reached it, the men had already set out the folding table and chair. New life had been stirred into Flynn's campfire, and the ashkari cook was preparing breakfast. Sitting at the table, with the front of his tunic open, spooning up oatmeal porridge and wild honey, Fleischer was soothed into a better humour by the food and by the thorough manner in which the execution of the four captives was conducted. When the last of them had stopped twitching and kicking and hung quietly with his comrades in the monkey bean tree, Hermann wiped up the bacon grease in his plate with a hunk of black bread and popped it into his mouth. The cook removed the plate and replaced it with a mug of steaming coffee at the exact moment when the two parties of searchers straggled into the clearing to report that a few drops of blood at the water's edge was the only sign they had found of Flynn O'Flynn.
"Yeah," Hermann nodded, The crocodiles have eaten him." He sipped appreciatively at his coffee mug before he gave his next orders. "Sergeant, take this up to the launch." He pointed at the stack of ivory on the edge of the clearing. "Then we will go down to the island of the dogs and find this other white man with his English flag."